Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have you here. I want to ask you to take your Bibles, if you will, if you haven't already done that, and turn to the book of Daniel in God's Old Testament. We're going to be getting there in just a moment this morning. As we get ready to start, let me just share with you, we are getting ready for the fall season. Our life group ministry gets started up again for the year at the end of this month. Life group is what we do as a fellowship of believers. We don't have a traditional Sunday school model. We want people to be in the Word. We want them building relationships. And so we use a life group model. And some of our classes meet. Some of our groups meet on Sunday morning. We do have some traditional Bible classes, for those of you that's a thing that you like. But we really want to get people in life groups. And most of our life groups meet during the week. We have a great children's ministry. It takes place here on Wednesday night, and then mom and dad can be in a life group and be building relationships, because none of us can live the Christian life by ourselves. We have to be in relationship with other believers. You take a charcoal briquette that's in a pile and they're all just white hot, you take it and you lay it over to the side and it'll go out. Its fire will die out. It has to stay in the pile with all the rest. And you just simply cannot live the Christian life by yourself. The world will overwhelm you. And so life group ministry is not really a take it or leave it deal. It is an absolute essential. It is one of the things we believe that the Bible talks about. It's what the early church did in Acts chapter 2 when the church was formed. They met together in the temple on the Sabbath day, and then they also met house to house. And so what it simply means is they gathered together in groups and they encouraged each other. They spent time in the Word and they built each other up. They held each other accountable. And that's the only way you can live the Christian life. We've got a number, about 40 life group leaders, older leaders, and some new ones that are meeting this morning down at what we're calling our Harmony House, down here, this first house on Harmony Hill Drive that the church has just recently purchased. And they're learning some new things about life group ministry we're going to be launching. But we want to get you involved. And maybe you haven't been involved in life group. You've just kind of been thinking about it, but you realize it's something that you want to do. I want to encourage you to go out into our mall area. We've got where our missions room normally is. There's a huge banner that's hung up there. And if you'll go there immediately after the service this morning and sign in, because you have not been in a life group and you want to be in a life group, we want you to go by and sign in. And they'll help you. They'll give you some options. And then we'll keep giving you options until we find a place for you, because we want you to build relationships. No matter how big God makes our fellowship, and we believe he just continues to grow the church on the hill. No matter how big we get, you'll always have 10 or 12 people who know you on a first name basis. And that's what you need. You need people that you're in relationship with. And so we want to help you do that. So please go by and do that. You can pick up one of these cards that's out there as well. And it tells you about getting involved in life group and how easy it is. And we can help you do that. So I want to encourage you to go by and sign up if you haven't been in a life group before and you want to get involved in that. All right. We're starting today our new series for the fall, which is, as you've noticed, entitled Anchored. And as it looks right now, I've got about 9 messages that I want to just get out to you. They're going to be taken from the book of Daniel. And this is going to take us through August and September, probably about the first week in October. So it's going to really take us through, and this is going to be a great, great journey. We're talking about being anchored. And this morning, we're going to talk about when life is upside down and what God says to us. And if you're like me, you have a sense that in our own country, that it seems like the values that created a healthy society like America has been for so many decades, it's just being turned upside down. Things that we used to take for granted are really being challenged and are being changed. And so I want you to listen to Psalm 82 in verse 5. I'm going to read from the Living Bible. Remember, one of the things I've taught you is the Living Bible is good for devotional reading. I do not encourage you to have the Living Bible as your go-to resource. The Living Bible is a paraphrase. That means it's a man's opinion about what the Bible means. And so the guy who wrote the Living Bible, he wrote it for his children. It's his opinion. It's a way he wanted to teach his children. He did an excellent job, but there's some things, the way he translated Scripture, I don't agree with. And so I'm just simply saying it's not a literal translation at all. It's a paraphrase in his own words. We normally, from our pulpit, preach from the New American Standard Version of God's Word, which is, I think, one of the most literal translations of the Old Testament Scriptures and the New Testament languages. So, that being said, Psalm 82, verse 5, from the Living Bible, says this: "But you are so foolish and so ignorant, because you are in darkness, all the foundations of society are shaken to a core." Now, I think that's a lot the way we feel today. Would you agree with that? It's like our society is just being shaken. And we are seeing people in authority in our country who are not followers after God, who don't follow after the Lord. And things that made our country great, things that got us to where we are being changed. And that gives us a lot of duress. The reality is, centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah sounded a warning to Israel. And what he said was this: any culture, this is from the Lord, any culture is headed for collapse when they turn away from the values that made them a great culture to begin with. They just start turning away from that. Here's how he put it, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. "How terrible it will be for people," now listen, "who call good things bad and bad things good, who think darkness is light and light is darkness, who think sour is sweet and sweet is sour. They will be destroyed." God has got a set of principles and guidelines. God has told us what is right and wrong. It doesn't really matter what my opinion is. It doesn't really matter what your opinion is. We can all share our ignorance. Would you agree with that? What's really important is, what does God say? God's the only one who has the standard of right and wrong. And when we go to that, that's why we find so much disparity in our country. It's because there's no one thing we all believe in. It's just whatever you think is true for you. It may not be true for me. You know what you call that? Hogwash. That's just a bunch of malarkey. It's craziness. We need something stable. We need 2 + 2 = 4, not 2 + 2 = anything you want it to be. Does that make sense? We need some stability in our country and in the morals and the values. And this kind of thing is exactly what happened to Israel in the days of the Old Testament prophets of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zephaniah. And this morning, what I want to do, I'm going to launch this series on the book of Daniel. But today, I don't want to just dive into his life. I'm just going to kind of hit this first chapter just a little bit to kind of get us into it, because there's something I want to share with you. I want to talk to you this morning about the whole theme for this series. Now, what is the theme for this series? It is this: God wants us to learn how we can thrive no matter what the culture throws at us as believers in him. Because that's the message of the book of Daniel. Daniel thrived in a pagan foreign culture. God took care of him, directed his life. He was a young teenager when Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zephaniah were prophesying to Israel that if they didn't turn away from their wicked ways, they were going to lose their country. God was going to destroy Israel, and they were going to be taken over by another government. God kept warning them, "You're going to lose your freedom." As a young man, Daniel heard these prophecies. He heard these prophets doing this teaching. Well, true to God's warning, in 600 BC, the Bible says that the Babylonian armies of King Nebuchadnezzar overran Israel. It had been a powerful nation, the most powerful nation on the planet. And now the Babylonian armies came in and totally ransacked the country. They destroyed the entire capital. The blood ran in the streets. Over 1 million Jews lost their lives in the sacking of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he took 25% of the population back to Babylon with him to be put into slave labor. Now, here's the truth I want you to notice in your outline. If you got your life point outline, if you haven't already done it, Israel lost her freedom because she failed to listen to God. Now listen to me. You and I are going to have problems in this world. It's one of the things that I'm going to talk about. But here's what I want you to understand. Some of the problems that we're going to have in this world is because of a lack of obedience to the Lord. And when I look at our country and I see what's happening in America, I want to tell you what I believe above everything else is the message here. I believe we're seeing the wrong people who don't know God get in positions of power and authority and are changing American culture because God is seeking to get the attention of you and me. God is seeking to get the attention of His church. It's what happened with Israel, and I believe it's what's happening today in our own country. The primary reason we're going through what we're going through as a people is because the church of Jesus Christ has strayed. We have strayed away from the Lord, and we're not where God wants us to be. Listen again to Psalm 82, verse 5. Because you are in darkness, talking to Israel, all the foundations of society are shaken to the core. God disciplined Israel because of her sin. But what was His goal? God's only goal was for the hearts of the people that had strayed from Him to be turned back to Him. And what I want you to understand, that's what God is wanting in your heart and in mine. God is wanting to draw you to Himself. He doesn't want you wandering away from Him. And I believe today we're seeing freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion. You know, during this last presidential campaign, I heard them talking about freedom of worship. That is not in the Constitution. You understand that? The Constitution is not about freedom of worship. And they're going to try to sell that. Freedom of worship means you do what you want to do inside four walls. But when you get outside, you walk to our step. That's not what the Constitution says. Constitution says, I have freedom of religion. That means I can live my life according to the dictates of what the Word of God says. I can do it in here, and I can do it out there. I can operate my business according to the way God has taught me in Holy Scripture. I don't follow the ways of the world. I'm different. And that is the reason why America is great, is because the Constitution was built on the tenets of the Word of God. All you got to do is go to Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, the capital of our nation. Inscribed in the major monuments, in the halls of Congress, inscribed in marble are holy scriptures that came from God's Word. Why? Because the men and women who started our nation over 200 years ago were chasers after a holy God. Were not perfect. They didn't do everything right. But their foundation was Him. And we have wandered from that. We have wandered away from that. And our God is calling us back to a relationship with Him. But even though we find ourselves in a time of change, and maybe you're worried about your kids and you're concerned about the future, this whole series is about encouraging you. And I just want you to understand, this is about encouragement. I'm not about browbeating you in this whole thing, but I want to open our eyes so that we can see how to thrive in a culture that is turning away from the Lord. Look at the next truth in your outline. In a decaying culture, God can bless His people to not only survive, but to thrive and succeed. And so what I'm simply telling you is, I am experiencing the discipline of God in my country. I'm experiencing that. And the whole purpose of this is to purify me. The whole purpose of what is happening in our country is to purify you and your family. And God is seeking to regain the attention of His straying church in America. That's one of the reasons why we're wanting to refocus life groups, because it is critical that we follow the Lord. Why am I teaching this whole series? Because I want you to be blessed. I want God to be with you as you come in and go out. We're going to have some challenging times. But this Holy Scripture teaches me, even when hard times are happening on the planet, we've got a God, when there is a drought, who is able to bring water out of a rock and who is able to supply food for you when times are difficult. That is a testimony of Holy Scripture. There is a God who can take care of you and take care of your family when you are walking with Him. And that's what this whole message is about. So, look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hands, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. He brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. And then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. So they were smart, they were good looking, and they had abilities. The very same things that our culture goes for today were on the top here. And he ordered them to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. And among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the commander of the officials assigned new names to them: to Daniel, Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; Mishael, Meshach; and Azariah, Abednego. All right. Our culture is seeking today to do the very thing that the king did to these four Hebrew boys. What is that? You and I are in a culture in America that is seeking for you and your children, it is seeking to reprogram us by replacing godly values with pagan values. That's what we're seeing take place in America, just like it was here. And God is simply saying, if you let that happen, you lose. If you stand with me, I will take care of you and I will bless you. Now, these boys from Israel had two things in their life that made them connected to God. What were they? Their name and their diet. They were named after the Lord God. Their Hebrew names meant something about following after the Lord. And their diet was totally different. The only reason God gave Israel a different diet, he said, I simply want you to remember you're not like everybody else. You don't eat like they do. There are certain things God prohibited from their life. Actually, they were healthy things that were going to make his people healthier. But he said, the whole reason is, I want you to realize you are different. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand? If we become like other churches across our land that are selling out to the world, embracing the things of the world, we become just like the world. And when we become just like the world, we no longer interest the world. The thing that makes us attractional is being different. Being different from the world. You don't go the places that the world goes. There are movies the world watches that you don't watch because you belong to the Lord. There's things you don't do for entertainment. That's what the world does, but that's not what you do. There's a way the world dresses. You don't have to be prude or be ridiculous, but you don't dress the way the world does. You don't dress provocatively. You don't dress sensually. Why? Because God has called you to live a different life. God has called you to have different priorities in your life. We are made to be different from the world, and they tried to change those two things, their diet and their name. And that was the thing that connected them to the Lord. And so Daniel, from age 15 to 85, keeps his integrity. He walks with God in a hostile culture. Now listen, and he's promoted 5 times. And at the age of 85, he's brought out of retirement, and he is again made the second most powerful man in a foreign culture that didn't even agree with his faith. And all I'm simply saying is, God has got you planted. He's got you planted all across this world, all across this city. And what God is saying is, I want to bless you. I put you someplace to make an impact. And if you will walk with me, I will take care of you. I will bless and watch over you. And I will use your life to impact others for eternity. Now, let me give you 2 thoughts this morning, and you have the message. Number one, don't let difficulty shock you. We're going through some difficult times. Things are being challenged that we thought would never be challenged before. You know, when Babylon came in and invaded Israel, they were shocked. I mean, it shocked them. Now, they had been warned that it was going to happen if they didn't change, but they were still shocked. Just like we get shocked by some of the stuff that's happening in America, it kind of rattles our cage. I want you to listen to what the Bible says to you and me. 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, don't be shocked or surprised when you suffer through painful tests and trials as if something strange is happening to you. Now, I want you to look at this truth in your outline. Shakeups are going to be a normal part of our lives because we live in a broken world. Now, here's what that means. Sometimes I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, and I still go through a difficult time. Stuff happens in my life that's not good. It's not positive. You know what that means? It doesn't mean God is against me. I live in a broken world. Stuff's going to happen. Bad things take place. Why? This world's not the way God wants it to be. God's will is not always done. And so there's things going to happen in my life. The weather's broken. The economy is broken. The minds of mankind is broken. And so stuff's going to happen, and we shouldn't be surprised by personal pain. That does not mean God is against me. It means I'm living in a broken world. John 16, 33. This is from the Message. Jesus answered them, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I have conquered the world. Jesus said, there's going to be adversity, John, in your life. There's going to be some challenges that are going to happen to you. That's because I live in a broken world. But God said, I will take care of you in the midst of all of that. Do you know where a lot of my problems come from? Exact same place a lot of yours do. Other people. Can I get an amen? Huh? Lord, help. We live in a crazy world, don't we? Sometimes you wonder, what's going on between your ears? You've absolutely gone crazy? And so many of our problems happen with other people. Now, here's where we go wrong. We spend so much of our time trying to fix the blame. And here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. When you focus on fixing the blame, you're not going to fix the problem. You and I live in a broken world. And the only way I'm going to make it through this brokenness, when I have problems with other people or whatever, is not trying to fix the blame, but rather that I would say, God, in light of this, what do you want me to do? What are you wanting me to do? What are you wanting me to do in light of what's happened at work, in light of this taking place with my child in school, in light of this or a lot of that? Let me tell you there are four places that most of our problems come from. Let me give them to you. This is from the Bible. Number one is you and me. You and I cause more of our pain and suffering than anything else in life. We are screwy sometimes in our thinking. We don't see things the way that we should. We've got a sinful nature. We say things we shouldn't. We do things that we shouldn't. We cause a lot of our pain. Many of us have lost jobs and we've lost relationships because we took a stupid pill. Can I get amen on that? It was us. Wasn't anybody else, it was us. Number two is the world. We are immersed. The world uses two primary tools to control you and me and to cause problems. Ridicule and withholding approval. And because we desperately want people's approval, what happens is, as believers, we wind up caving. And instead of standing for what we believe, we just kind of go with the flow. We go with the flow at work. We go with the flow at school. We go with the flow wherever. We just kind of become a chameleon, and we become like the people that we're around. And that's going to cause problems in our life, and it's from the world. Here's the insight in your outline. When you seek the approval of the world, you're bowing to what causes most of your problems. The world's one of the biggest sources of your problems. And God says, stay with me. Let me take care of you. The third cause of our problems is Satan. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be careful, the devil, your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to destroy. He hates me, he hates you, he seeks my destruction and your destruction through depression, discouragement, distraction, defeat. If he can touch you physically, he'll do that. Satan seeks to destroy your life. But then number four, the fourth cause of a lot of our problems is God. God is directly behind a lot of the stuff that happens in my life. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Regardless of what where my problems come from, this Bible tells me that my Father wants to bring good to me if I will trust Him. God is the only one who can bring good to you out of something bad that happens. Cancer in your family is not God's will. God's not behind cancer. God's not behind a rape. God's not behind molestation. God's not behind it. That is all of the flesh and the devil. God's not behind it. And God is the only one who can take something that's bad and not make it good, but bring good to you out of it. And He's the only one that can do that. He can take care of you. And whatever is shaking your life this morning, God says, I want you to understand one thing. The most important thing is, what is your response to what you're going through? What's your response to your experience in a broken world? Which brings me to my last point this morning, and that's God's usual motivations. Let me tell you what God's desire is for your life. It's the same it is for mine. Jeremiah 29:11. If you belong to Him, He said, the plans I have for you are plans for good, not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. God says, I want to do you good. Now listen to me. Because God wants to do me good, God is not going to let me, as His son, you as His son or as His daughter, because He wants to do you good, He will not let you continue going on a path that is wrong for you. And what that means is, you will go through a time of adversity because God is seeking to get your attention. He's seeking to redirect you. Let me give you three ways He does that. Number one, God allows a shaking in your life to examine you. God's going to go over you like with a fine-tooth comb, and He'll put me and you in a situation that reveals the real us. You know, somebody said that Christians are kind of like tea bags. You never know what's in them till you put them in hot water. You don't know. Listen, when everything's going good, you don't know the real me. You don't know the real me. If everything's going good, everything's fine in my life, sure, I'd be great to be around. Do you know when the real me comes out? When I'm going through a hard time. The real me comes out when I've been mistreated. The real me comes out when I get in a tough spot. So here's what happens. A God in heaven who cares about you allows problems to come into your life simply to show you what's out of whack in your life. He does that so that you can see what needs to be fixed. Jeremiah 17:10. The Lord searches our hearts, examines our deepest motives, so He can give each person according to how he has lived. Every one of us needs to change in order to be better. But some of us don't know what it is we need to change. God already knows what my quirks are. God knows what your quirks are. And God is going to seek to systematically begin to deal with that. And here's the truth. God is more interested in your integrity than in your image. He said, what I'm interested in, what kind of person are you when you're out of town? When you're out of town, when you're around where nobody knows you, are you the same as you are here? Are you the same person? Are you the same person wherever you go that you are here when you're in your hometown and everybody knows you? Do you, when you're out on a business trip or you're out on a vacation, do you live the same kind of life that you profess the person that you are here? God wants to know, are you the same person in the dark that you are in the daylight? Now, He already knows. But God is going to send us through some things to let us see where our integrity is. I think one of the biggest, greatest biblical examples is Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. You can read about it after you get out of here, starting in Deuteronomy chapter 2. Read about their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. And here's the insight on what you see in your outline. Israel lost an entire generation in 40 years of pain and suffering because of lack of faith. They would not trust and follow the Lord. They kept wandering off course. And Deuteronomy 8 and 2 says, God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you'd keep his commands. He knew what was in their heart, but he let them go through difficult times so that they would see. There were times, according to the book of Hebrews, where Israel in the wilderness, they ran out of water. They ran out of food. And God said, did I ever take my eyes off you? Not one moment. Did I desert you? No. But God said, I let you run out of water and I let you run out of food for one reason. I wanted to see what you would do. And so sometimes God lets you go through a difficult time. He puts you in a desert. Look at the truth in your outline. God uses deserts to test us. You know what a desert is? Israel was in a desert where they were tested. A desert for us, that's when you and I go through those periods of times where you can't sense God. It's like you maybe you've asked yourself, where are you? I don't see you in my life. You're going through a desert. You know what that desert's for? It's about seeing, what are you going to do in the desert? What are you going to do when I don't answer you? What are you going to do when I'm not right there taking care of everything that you need right at the time that you need it? God wants to see if your walk with him is based on emotion or it's based on trust. And here's a question in your outline. Do you live your life for God even when you don't feel it, but just because it's the right thing to do? In other words, are you the same person out of town that you are when you're here? When you're around people where God's not cool, when you're around people at school or at work who don't chase after the Lord, do you become one of them? Or are you still who you are? You're still a chaser after God. You're not quirky and you're not weird. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean weirdness, but it means there's a certain way you live your life. And you just don't follow the way the others are going. God will send us through some hard times to examine us. Number two, he'll send us through some shaking to correct us. And that's just simply the thing. God allowed the country to be hauled off to another country for 70 years because they had wandered away from him. And Hebrews 12 and 8 says, God corrects all of his kids. And if he doesn't correct you, then you don't really belong to him. Listen, if you can live a sinful life and you don't feel like you're getting a whooping, that life's just kind of caving in on you, you don't belong to him. God said, I always discipline my kids. He says, God corrects us for our own good because he wants us to be holy as he is. It's never fun to be corrected. Amen. In fact, at the time, it's always painful. But if we learn to obey by being corrected, we will do right and live at peace. Let me tell you something. God lets me go through some difficult times to examine me. Am I the same guy every day of my life? Or am I wishy-washy? God examines me. And then God lets me go through some difficult times to correct me. Because God's message to me is, you know what, Green? My son, you've wandered. And you're not doing the way I want you to do. You know you're not. And so God disciplines me. And then lastly, God allows shaking to direct us. And let me close with this. Proverbs 16 and 9. A person can plan his own journey, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, here's the truth. Problems often change our plans. It's God's chosen method to redirect our life. If you belong to him, God knows what he wants in your life. God's got a plan for you. Listen, the book of Proverbs says this, as a bird that wanders from its nest. Now, listen, this is worth the whole price of admission this morning. As a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a man who wanders from his place. What? What does that mean? You see a young bird fall out of a nest, no feathers, it can't fly, it's just laying on the ground, helpless. It's a meal for something that likes meat. It's gonna die. And here's what God says, I've got a place for you. God plants you. He plants you so he can bless you, take care of you, and because he wants you to bear witness in that place, in school, in your job, in a community. Listen, God has you here in a place. You need to be very careful before you change that God is leading you Because as a bird wanders from its nest and gets into trouble, so is a man who wanders from his place. I've heard people come back, I don't know where God is. We just know this is where, you know, this was a great opportunity. I was getting, my salary was being doubled. Money is not the reason to move. You can't have enough money for some of the problems that can come into your life. You need God's blessing on your life. Would you say amen to that? You don't pack up and leave just because I'm getting a raise in salary. That can be the biggest serpent pit in your life. A total disaster. And God maybe is bringing problems in your life because he's seeking to redirect you and tell you, that's not my will for you. My blessing is not going to be there. And it's going to be a long time after you've repented and are so sorry for changing before my blessings are going to begin to fall on where you are. Because I want to teach you, you don't ever run away from where I want you to be. God wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. We're going to have our invitation from where you're sitting this morning. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. And this is just going to be between me and you this morning. Maybe you realize you're in the midst of problems, and what God has just communicated to you in your heart this morning, that you're heading in a direction. This is about direction. And you're headed in a direction that is not his. And you realize, you know, I'm just in a Jonah moment. And I've just been swallowing this thing. And I'm beginning to really think about the direction of my life. If that's you, nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to see. This is just like a private time. Would you just, with me and the Lord, just raise your hand and say, Brother John, this morning God is speaking about the direction of my life. And I've heard him. I'm listening this morning. Just raise your hand wherever you are, and then you can put it back down. Just let me see where you are. Amen. Thank you. It's about the direction of your life. Yes. Thank you. That's God's purpose this morning, the direction. Maybe your problem is God is showing you in the difficulty of life that you have wandered. There's like this compromising life that you're living. You're doing things you know you shouldn't do. Going places you know you shouldn't go. And God, because you belong to him, you know there's discipline in your life. And you just raise your hand, Pastor, today God is talking to me about what I'm doing, compromising my life. And I want to walk with him. I want to change and turn the course of my life. Thank you. I see your hand. Just lift your hand up wherever it is and you can put it back down. I'm doing things I shouldn't do. I'm living a compromised life, and God's calling me back to him. Yes, amen, amen. All right, I want to pray over you this morning. We're going to pray for the offering. This is how we just bless the Lord. We give to him for his work to prosper. As we bring our offering to him, it's part of our worship of him. It's not an addendum that's tacked onto the service. It's important. And I want to encourage you, be a giver. Tithing is your goal. That's a minimum. But be a giver to the Lord. God will bless you. He'll take care of you. And that's one of the things we're going to teach you here on the hill. Because we want your life to be blessed. So, Father, for everyone who's lifted a hand this morning, for every insight that you've given from this text this morning, God, the things that you're teaching us about how you want us to live life, Lord, we thank you. Thank you. We're going to learn so much in this journey through the life of Daniel. And we just bless you now, Father. You're going to show us how we can live a blessed life in the midst of a changing culture. And the real hope for our country of being a country that's a shining light for the world is that we don't turn our back on you. And primarily that's the church, God's own people. And the church needs to turn back to you. Worship needs to be a priority. And Father, we pray it'll be a priority on the hill. Your people will worship you and put you first in their life. That blessing can come. We can make an impact in the lives of people who don't know you. And the word of Jesus Christ will spread. Oh, Father, bless us with your blessing. May this offering bring you honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. Please watch the screen for just a moment. And then you're dismissed this morning.